Voyager flashes through the outer reaches of space.
Holding course 351, mark 10, warp 7. We'll be passing a red dwarf system in 40 minutes. I can't tell yet if there are any M-class planets.
Paris crosses over to Harry Kim.
You ready? No, I really want to get on that translator assembly diagnostic.
Harry, I can't do this alone.
Sorry.
Oh, you're making a big mistake. Can't you see what's going to happen? We are the only humans out here, Harry. People are going to start pairing off. And if we don't get to the Delaney sisters in stellar cartography soon, somebody else will.
I got a girl back home.
So what? I got five.
I plan on seeing mine again.
Harry. You really think she's going to wait for you?
I hope so.
Let her go. Let her have a husband and kids and a good life. Well, you and I have the Delaney sisters.
I told you, I need to run a translator diagnostic.
You need to run a self-diagnostic. Look, they come as a pair. It's a double date or no date. Come on. I told them all about you.
What did you tell them about me?
Well, for one thing, how you broke the single pilot speed record at the Academy.
Record? I never broke any record.
And who are they going to check it with?
The ship is suddenly buffeted by a powerful force.
Report!
We're at the leading edge of a shockwave.
Kes, asleep in her quarters, suddenly starts awake. She looks frightened, almost in panic. She raises a hand to her head, her eyes wide with fear.
Minor hull breach on deck 3, contained. Shields are holding.
Engineering is undamaged, Captain. All systems operational.
Mr. Paris, can you identify the source of the wave?
I'm not sure. Scanners are picking up a debris cloud in the red dwarf system we're approaching.
It consists of differentially charged polaric ions, Captain.
Differentially charged? That would suggest a massive detonation. Are you familiar with any intelligent life forms in this system, Mr. Neelix?
Familiar? Not exactly familiar. Considerably less than familiar, actually.
Neelix looks awkwardly at Tuvok.
Adjust course to investigate.
Aye, Captain.
As Voyager speeds on its way, the elfin Kes arrives on the bridge. She looks worried.
Entering the system, Captain. Heading 010 Mark 4.
Kes, what are you doing here?
I had to know.
No, what?
The origin of the shockwave is an M-class planet, Captain. We're within visual range.
On screen.
All vegetation on the planet has been destroyed.
No satellite system in orbit. No evidence of spacecraft.
Life signs?
None.
But the polaric radiation may be interfering with the scanners.
Take us into orbit.
Density patterns on the surface show artificial waterways and a global aqueduct system.
There is a civilization down there, Captain.
Why, there was. What do we know about surface conditions?
Radiation is within acceptable levels. Atmosphere, breathable.
Mr. Paris, Tuvok, you're with me. Miss Torres, meet us in transporter room 2.
On my way.
Commander, you have the bridge.
As Janeway and her team stride purposefully from the bridge, Neelix looks anxiously to Kes. Janeway, Tuvok, Paris, and Torres arrive on the surface of the planet. There is no sign of life. The atmosphere is grey, desolate, and lifeless. They appear to be in the ruins of an industrial complex. There is rubble everywhere, and absolutely no sign of life. As they walk deeper into the complex, they look around them, all clearly affected by the desolation they are seeing. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Time and Again, voiced by Roland Bean. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas. Its flat, oval bow, raised above and forward of the cylindrical body, to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow, surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet, streaked with clouds, turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets, in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun, eclipsed by a satellite moon, is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing.
The entire surface of the planet was just seared.
There was a chain reaction in subspace, very likely ignited by the detonation of one or more Polaric ion devices.
That's what happened. The people here never had a chance.
They're gone. Vaporized. Everything organic has basically been obliterated.
At least it happened quickly. A Polaric detonation would have swept through this city in seconds.
It recalls the Chaltok 4 incident.
Chaltok 4?
A Romulan research colony was nearly destroyed during the testing of one of these devices. It led to the Polaric Test Ban Treaty of 2268.
So, we're looking at the end of a war.
I wonder who won.
I'm not so sure there was a war. Look at these readings, B'Elanna.
Torres also scans the ruined machinery.
Polaric ion concentrations are so high, I can't get an accurate reading.
I'd say these conduits were the source of the explosion, wouldn't you?
A civilization powered by Polaric ion energy?
That's what it looks like. A time bomb underneath every street, running into every home.
On the Enterprise, Kes is in tears.
What do you mean, you saw it? How could you see it?
I don't know.
What did you see?
I saw them burn their bodies. Ashes where they stood.
You felt the shockwave in your sleep. Just your imagination. Strange coincidence.
I don't think so.
What else could it be?
It was almost telepathic.
Telepathy is a message. Words. Voice. What you're describing, why, it's almost like the visions of Drakean forest dwellers.
Who?
A tribe with paranormal abilities. They can walk into an empty room.
Neelix, my ancestors were said to have unusual mental abilities.
No one believes those stories.
I always have.
Neelix hugs her. The away team move through the wrecked alien power station, taking tricorder readings. Tom Paris suddenly spots a bright metallic object, which he retrieves.
Look, this may be some kind of timepiece. Stopped at the moment of the explosion.
Suddenly, for a moment, Paris feels the warmth of sunshine on his face.
What was that?
What?
Didn't you hear that?
Hear what, Lieutenant?
Kids playing. They were as close to me as...
The ruins vanish, and Paris finds himself standing in the middle of a busy square. Children playing and people going about their ordinary business. Suddenly, he feels a hand on his shoulder. He is back in the ruins and looking into the eyes of Captain Janeway. He's completely baffled.
I don't understand. I was here, in this square, but there were people.
You never left here, Tom.
But I saw them. Lots of people, children playing, and the sun was shining. There was no evidence of an explosion. Everyone was alive and happy.
You were standing here the whole time.
Your central nervous system is showing a temporal flux, but it's rapidly returning to normal.
The chain reaction has shattered subspace, Captain.
I want everyone to stand exactly where they are. If Tuvok's right, there may be subspace fractures floating like icebergs across the planet's surface. Away team to Voyager.
Go ahead.
Four to beam up.
Suddenly, Janeway and Paris find themselves in the busy square, surrounded by people.
Tuvok, B'Elanna, Janeway...
Janeway and Paris look anxiously at each other.
Hey, calm down. It's all right. Now, what's the problem?
I saw them! They appeared out of thin air! They're some kind of demons! I saw them with my own eyes!
I'm sorry we startled them. We just came around the corner.
They're lying!
Shh, now. Calm down. You've been reading too many of those dark storm tales, young fellow. There's no such thing as demons.
But I'm telling you...
Run along now. Have a confection bar and calm down.
All right, everybody. Back to your business. Nothing else to see here now.
Oh, sorry about that. No problem. Who knows what gets into their heads, huh?
Oh, perhaps the uniform scared him. We're not from this area.
Hmm. Come in on the Continental Transport?
This morning.
Is, that what they're wearing in Kalto Province these days?
This is a little more formal than most. You know how it is when you travel.
We were actually looking for a clothing shop. We thought we'd change into something more appropriate.
There's one right over there. I hope the rest of your stay with us is more enjoyable.
I wish I could say it will be.
Turning, Paris goes to look in the window of a nearby shop. In the display, he spots a shiny casing of the device he found earlier.
Need a timepiece?
Maybe you could help me. I'm from Kalto Province. I'm not used to your timepieces.
They're no different than Kalton timepieces.
Are you sure? What do these numbers stand for?
Rotations, intervals, fractions. Same as any timepiece. 14 kaladas.
A fair price. I might stop back later, if there's time. If I understood correctly, this world is going to be destroyed sometime tomorrow.
Janeway's eyes widen with worry.
First officer's log, supplemental. There's been no sign of Captain Janeway or Lieutenant Paris since they were lost in a subspace fracture.
This is one of the subspace fractures we've located with a magneton scan of the surface. This is the time of the explosion, where the fracture opens. Then, as the shock waves dissipate, the fracture grows more narrow. We believe that the Captain and Lieutenant Paris are trapped at the narrow end.
Shock waves from most explosions dissipate into the future, but we're speculating, based in part on what Paris told us he saw, that these dissipate into the past.
That's consistent with the subspace damage we've observed.
Why haven't they been able to return as Mr. Paris did the first time?
He wasn't all the way inside a fracture. Remember, we still saw Paris standing there, even when he could see the other side.
So it's possible the Captain and Paris are existing only hours and minutes before the explosion occurs.
There's no way for us to measure exactly how far back these fractures go.
How do we find them?
If I know Captain Janeway, she would activate a subspace beacon to assist us.
We're counting on it. First, we have to find a fracture in a location where they've been. Then we have to microscan the fracture to try to pick up the signal from their subspace beacon.
Once we've identified where and when they are, then we have to widen the fracture at that point.
How do you suggest we do that?
We're not sure yet.
Tuvok and Kim both look at a loss. In sickbay, the doctor is giving Kez a brain scan.
What? Is something wrong?
Yes, terribly wrong. Your brain is not on file. Either your government failed to transmit the standard 15501 crew personnel report, or somebody at Starfleet Medical really fouled up.
I'm not a member of the Starfleet crew.
We came aboard at mid-expedition.
And no one asked you for your medical histories when you arrived? Of course not. That would be the ship's doctor's job. My job. If anyone had bothered to tell me about new passengers, but I seem to be the last to know just about everything around here. So, tell me, just how many other new arrivals are there?
Just us.
And the crew from another ship that was destroyed.
Another crew. That's nice. This is the emergency medical holographic system to Captain Janeway.
She's not on board. She's missing on the surface of a planet.
Missing. The captain is missing.
Seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned. Very well. Please advise the highest ranking officer who is not missing to see me at his earliest convenience. You may shut off my program now.
But you haven't told us anything about her condition.
She's the healthiest member of her species I've ever seen. The only member of her species I've ever seen. You have a lovely brain. It will make a fine addition to our files. I wouldn't worry. If your species has a history of extraordinary mental abilities, this may simply be your way of flexing those muscles for the first time. Living in space requires the body to make a variety of biological adjustments. This could be a side effect of that process. Go home, get a good night's sleep, and drink plenty of fluids.
Fluids?
Everybody should drink plenty of fluids. Don't leave without turning me off.
Computer and program.
And call me in the morning.
Kes and Neelix look baffled. On the planet, Paris and Janeway have changed into brightly colored local dress.
We can assume that Voyager will be looking for a way to reach us. I'll set my comm badge to emit a subspace beacon. If they get close, maybe they'll pick it up.
I know.
Maybe there's some way that
Think about it, Tom. The Prime Directive is clear. We cannot allow our presence to alter this planet's natural course of events.
Even if the natural course of events is annihilation?
Yeah.
My father used to talk at length to us about the Prime Directive, once a year, like a holiday sermon.
He considered it the guiding principle of space exploration.
To be honest, I tuned out most of his sermons years ago.
We'll tune back into this one, because I agree with him. You have no idea what the consequences might be once you involve yourself.
The consequences would have to be better than mass destruction.
You're not to warn these people. That's an order.
She spots the boy who saw them arrive.
Oh, God. Come on.
I know you're lying.
Young man, we're here on a business trip and we have a lot of work to do.
The officer told me you came here on the Continental Transport.
That's right. We're from Kalto Province.
Yeah, well, I just talked to the transport attendant. He told me four people came today from Kalto. Two of them were a lot older than you, and they had a child with them.
Well, the attendant was wrong. That was us.
So, where's the child?
We ate him. Because we are demons, and we eat children, and I haven't had my supper yet.
As the youngster runs for his life, the captain frowns her displeasure.
Sorry. I just figured it was the quickest way.
Let's concentrate on getting out of here.
For inspiration, they suddenly spot a conduit the same as the one they found in the ruins.
The same subspace fractures that brought us here might still be around. If they were caused by a Polaric explosion, is there any way we could use Polaric energy to get us back?
If we had access to a Polaric ion generator, we could modify a tricorder to emit a Polaric field. At the very least, it might help us scan for a fracture.
I wonder where these conduits get their power.
Elsewhere, law enforcement officers are using their batons to control a crowd of protesters.
This is a lawful demonstration!
We have a right to be here!
Fighting breaks out as a blow from a truncheon fells one protester.
Under normal circumstances, I'd say we should come back tomorrow.
Watching from behind a bush, the young boy is still following Janeway and Paris. An officer fires his weapon into the air to try and disperse the crowd. Caught up in the confusion, an officer suddenly smashes his gun butt into Janeway's face. Paris arrives on the scene and knocks the officer out cold. They are hauled away by other protesters. On Voyager, Harry Kim is demonstrating an electronic device which emits a bright beam of energy.
This device uses the same Polaric energy that destroyed the planet.
At intense levels, it can open a subspace fracture.
Wide enough for the captain and Paris to get through?
If we can locate them, this is capable of bringing them back.
The logical place to begin would be at the same location they disappeared.
Only problem is, at the necessary intensity, the Polaric generator will burn itself out after 30 seconds at best.
Can't we reinitialize the generator and try again?
Not at the same location. Once we make an attempt at any given location, the damage to subspace will make a second attempt impossible.
How do we prevent one of us from getting trapped in a fracture?
We've modified our tricorders to detect the fractures, and all of us will be wearing one of these. It puts out an anti-Polaric field. It should repel the fractures when they get within 3 meters.
Nice work.
Ah, Commander.
Will you be going back to the planet's surface?
We're getting ready to leave right now.
I have to go with you.
There's nothing down there you want to see, Cass.
That's what I told her.
I've already seen it. I have to go.
Chakotay studies Kes, trying to work out her motives. Down on the planet, Paris is dressing a nasty gash on Janeway's forehead. Two of the protesters enter the room.
We're sorry to involve you in this. Panar Makur, my colleague, Nyterla.
Apparently you just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
I was just thinking the very same thing. What were you doing there?
We're from Kalto province. We were hoping to tour your power facility. Compare it to our own.
I've never seen a Kalton with your color hair.
Well, now you have.
My friend thinks you were sent by the government to infiltrate us.
Infiltrate? You were there when she got this. Perhaps you were told to put on a good show for us.
We don't even know why someone would want to infiltrate you.
That's hard to believe. Even in Kalto, there are protests against Polaric energy.
We're not spies.
When was the last time you were in a power plant?
Not since we left home.
You weren't in that plant yesterday?
We were just getting there when we stumbled into you.
We know you're not telling the truth. We have safety monitors to measure Polaric energy. When you were brought here, they registered 5 times the normal readings.
To register levels this high, you were either inside that plant yesterday or at the site of a Polaric disaster worse than any in the history of this planet.
They are at a loss for words as they find themselves at gunpoint. Chakotay's away team arrive on the desolated planet's surface with Kim's device. Kes is with them. She is standing still, eyes wide, staring around her. Chakotay approaches her.
What is it?
It's as though I can sense the people who are here.
I know. It's like walking through a graveyard.
No. It's more than that. I almost feel as if I could touch the people who were here.
Chakotay frowns, unsure what to make of Kes's words.
What have you found? The scanners are not showing any subspace fractures in the area now.
That probably indicates the subspace damage is beginning to dissipate. If that's true, it's going to be harder to locate Tom and the captain.
Commander, I'm picking up a signal from a comm badge.
The subspace beacon?
No, it's not on subspace. It's here.
Now.
Kim to Janeway. Kim to Paris.
Can we locate the source of the signal?
Yes, sir.
This way. What's your name?
Janeway.
Unusual name.
Not where I'm from.
What part of Kalto province was that again?
I don't see any point in this.
There is a point, a very important one. It has to do with our schedule and whether we can keep it or not. Can we?
I don't know.
Do they know our plan?
I have no idea.
Let me go!
Look what I caught, sneaking around outside.
Tricorders in hand, the away team advance through the wreckage towards the possible position of Paris and the captain.
I'm still not showing any life signs.
The team continues its sweep, followed by Kes. She moves apprehensively, still overwhelmed by the feeling she has and trying to find an explanation.
The boy has nothing to do with any of this.
Is he yours?
No, he's just somebody we met here.
Don't trust them! They aren't who they say they are!
Really?
Thanks, kid.
Look, this is all a misunderstanding.
They lied about coming here on the Continental Transport! I talked to the attendant myself! Let me go!
What do we do with him? We can't let him go.
Just put him over there with the other.
Now stay quiet.
Looking over at Paris, Janeway frowns at their now almost impossible predicament. Back in the ruins, Kim finds the molten remains of 2 communicator badges.
The comm badge is designed to self-activate when the casing is destroyed, to help searchers locate victims.
I guess it means they were caught in the explosion.
It only means their comm badges were caught in the explosion. Further speculation serves no purpose. I suggest we search for other tangible evidence.
As the team moves off, Kez walks over to where they were standing and stares down at a cylindrical object.
None of us have seen devices like these before. Turla believes they're spy equipment.
They're for surveying property. I've been thinking of buying land here. I need to survey it.
I'd be curious to know how they work. Would you show me?
Janeway half smiles and reaches for the phaser.
But then one of them might be a weapon. And I wouldn't want you to show me how that works, would I?
Janeway freezes. Paris turns to the boy.
Hey, kid. You were right about one thing. I was lying. I don't need children.
You don't scare me. My father works for the Media Bureau. And when I tell him all about this, he'll
what
go
is
right...
he, some kind of journalist?
Yes. And so am I.
Is that right?
I report for my school journal. That's right where everyone's gonna find out about you when I write about this in next week's edition.
What's your name?
Latika.
Latika. I'm sorry.
For what?
I just am.
I realize how this must appear to you, but I'm just a patriot.
A patriot?
I sincerely believe Polaric Energy has the potential to destroy this entire world.
I take it very few people here agree with you.
We have more support since the accident at Markov. We know the companies are afraid of us. We know they've increased security at all their plants. But it will not be enough to stop us. We can't wait another week. We have to move up the schedule. We know they're not telling us the truth. We have to assume the government sent them. Tell everyone we begin at 400 tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Captain? Kes.
Her captors stare at Janeway, puzzled.
Do you have something to tell me, Janeway? If that's your real name.
It is my real name. Captain Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager.
Both Paris and the protesters' eyes widen in surprise at this revelation.
I can feel their presence.
Please elaborate. How can you feel their presence?
I don't know. I just can. They've been in this room. I know it.
Is there a subspace fracture anywhere in here?
Affirmative.
Set up the equipment.
Chakotay places a supportive hand on Kez's shoulder.
You wanted the truth. All right. Here's the truth. We're from the future. Exactly one day in the future.
You mean I was right?
We weren't allowed to tell. At least I thought we weren't.
Janeway steps forward and stares straight into the eyes of McCool, the group leader.
In a few hours from now, there will be a serious accident on this world. It will be caused by a Polaric detonation. We came here in an interstellar ship to investigate that explosion. When we arrived, we were exposed to the Polaric radiation.
Showing a subspace fracture, coordinates 141 by 21 by 14, 5% drift, range 4 meters.
Got it. Initiating generator.
Initiating microscan of the subspace fracture. It's very likely that whatever you are planning to do could be responsible for this tragedy.
And somehow you were able to come back here to warn us?
The explosion had an after effect that no one expected. It created fractures in time. We fell through one of those fractures.
Interstellar ships, fractures in time. Do you honestly expect us to believe all this?
I found them. Scanners are picking up a subspace beacon. Adjusting penetration coordinates to match. I'll try to open up the other end.
Chakotay to Janeway.
Captain, can you read us?
Eavesdropping devices.
No, but they are for communication. My crew is trying to contact me.
From the future, of course.
Get the particle injector.
The second man, Nightula, also removes Paris's badge and then goes to a safe and takes out a device.
Bring them with us, the boy too. I have an idea how they can help.
The prisoners are hurriedly ushered from the room, their comm badges left on the glass table. As they leave, the air in the room begins to shimmer and bulge.
Captain Janeway, can you read me? Please respond.
I don't get it, Captain. This morning you were giving orders about not interfering because of the Prime Directive. Now you're telling them everything.
I told them the truth when I realized we'd already violated the Prime Directive in the worst possible manner.
How did we do that?
Just by being here. Because if we hadn't been here, it's very possible this world would not have been destroyed.
What?
Think about it, Tom. Before we got involved, these people were planning to commit some kind of sabotage next week. We were the ones who forced a change in their schedule. Because of us, they decided to begin today at 400 rotations. And we know the detonation takes place today just after 401.
401, 2284. Wait a minute. You're saying we're responsible for an explosion, even though it occurred before our ship arrived here.
We've traveled back to a point in time before the explosion. So yes, we can be responsible for it.
Paris takes a moment to consider this.
Let's say we never came, and their plans didn't change. Wouldn't the accident simply have occurred next week instead of today?
Who knows what might have happened between now and then. They could have been arrested before they got a chance to carry it out. Conditions at the plant might not have been the same next week. But it's become our problem now, Tom. And we have got to find a way to solve it.
They walk on in silence, thinking hard for a solution to the problem.
We're running out of time. The subspace fractures are closing. We've lost over 70% of them.
At this point, we're suggesting we concentrate our search at the flashpoint.
May I ask what you expect to accomplish by doing that?
We figure the captain and Paris might have looked for the origin of the explosion to try and prevent it.
Unlikely. It would be a highly questionable decision in light of the Prime Directive.
If it were me, I would have tried to get there.
The issue is whether Captain Janeway would go there, not you, Commander.
You think you can locate the flashpoint?
We already have.
Let's go.
They all hurry from the room, Tuvok rising more slowly.
Your job is to get us past the guards. You'll tell them you're bringing us here to negotiate a settlement of our dispute with the power company.
I cannot and will not do anything to help you.
Think before you say no. Terla has a weapon trained on the boy. If shooting begins, he'll be the first victim.
As Janeway turns, spotting the gun, an officer approaches the group from the gates of the power plant.
Is there something I can do for you?
She's a government representative on official business.
Janeway and Paris turn to one another and nod. Janeway steps forward and approaches the guard.
I am a hostage. These men are here to break into the plant.
On hearing the words, the guard steps back, eyeing the group suspiciously. As he reaches for his weapon, Makul shoots him. Latika tries to run off, and Nightula aims his weapon at him. Paris sprints over to try and save the youngster, but is hit by a shot from Maitula's weapon. A second guard emerges from his post at the main gates and is brought down in a hail of fire. Rushing forward, Makul activates the mechanism to open the main gates.
Their lives are on your conscience, Janeway!
Janeway and Latika attend the fallen Paris.
You saved my life!
Don't waste time with me, Captain. Gotta stop them.
Will you stay with him until help arrives?
Sure he will. The kid and I... We're all friends now, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'll be back for you.
We'll be here.
The protesters run down corridors in the power plant. They approach a console which they are able to activate. They fail to notice that behind them, along the corridor, Janeway, weapon in hand, is stalking them. In the ruined version of the power plant, the away team arrives.
The Polaric levels are higher here than any place we've been so far.
This was undoubtedly the flashpoint of the explosion. Whatever went wrong, it started here.
Do we have subspace fractures to work with in here?
Affirmative. They remain quite numerous in this area.
Set up the equipment.
Aye, sir.
Meanwhile, Janeway, still stalking the protesters, moves cautiously from cover to cover. Behind the protesters is a bag containing her tricord and phaser. Moving ever closer, she can now see inside the bag.
I think we're getting it.
I need the injector.
Just hand that bag to me.
Kez moves cautiously down the ruined corridor.
41 by 310. 2% drift. Range 6 meters. Mark.
I have it. Initiating generator.
Scanning for the subspace beacon.
It doesn't look like that we're here.
It is highly unlikely that Captain Janeway would come here to...
No. The captain did come. She was here. This is where she died.
Everybody on this planet has less than 3 minutes to live if you go through with this, McCall. Don't!
What exactly do you think we are planning to do here?
I assume you're going to sabotage the plant. Probably by detonating some kind of device.
We're not stupid enough to blow up anything here.
That may be true, but something will go wrong.
Nothing is going to go wrong unless you fire that weapon. You're a Polaric conduit. For everyone's safety, I suggest you put it down.
Give me the bag.
McCall keeps close hold of the bag as the other protesters stand with their arms folded, creating a standoff.
All right, then. We'll wait.
Kess is right. The captain was here at the moment the explosion occurred. Is there any way to break through subspace a few minutes before the detonation?
If the widest point of the fracture represents the time of the explosion, couldn't we open a hole just before the widest point?
There's no way we could pinpoint the exact time we'd be penetrating, but we could make an educated guess.
I feel it is my duty to point out there is absolutely no logical reason to believe Kess is correct. However, since I have no alternative course of action to recommend at this time, I suggest we proceed.
Commander?
What time is it?
401 rotations plus 21.
We'll just wait until 23.
23? What's the importance of 23? Oh. This is all about the alleged time of our self-annihilation. All right. Let's just see if we can all get through the...
What's going on?
They're cutting through subspace.
My God. He's going to intersect with the conduit wall.
Our own rescue attempt. That's what sets it off. My weapon may be able to seal that hole. It's our only chance.
Puzzled and now fearful, McCall allows Janeway to remove her phaser from her bag. She turns and fires it into the center of the shimmering bulge, which immediately stops increasing in size.
I'm getting nadion particle resistance from the other side.
Increasing generator to maximum output.
The energy beam glows with an even brighter intensity. Janeway keeps her phaser trained steadily on the shimmering bulge.
The generator's overloading.
I don't understand. It's not working. We're not penetrating the fracture.
Gradually, Janeway's phaser fire seems to push the bulge back in on itself. It seems to explode in backwards, bathing the away team in a brilliant white light. They seem to vanish. At the same time, the protesters and Janeway also vanish, as do Lutika and Tom Paris outside the plant. On Voyager, Tom and Harry seem to be having the same conversation as they did before arriving at the planet.
Harry. You really think she's going to wait for you?
I hope so.
Let her go. Let her have a husband and kids and a good life. While you and I have the Delaney sisters.
I told you, I need to run a translator diagnostic.
And you need to run a self-diagnostic. Look, they come as a pair. It's a double date or no date. Come on. I told them all about you.
What did you tell them about me?
Well, for one thing, how you broke the single pilot speed record at the Academy.
Record? I never broke any record.
And who are they going to check it with?
Chakotay to Captain Janeway.
Captain enters with Neelix, smiling and looking relaxed.
Yes, Commander.
We've identified an M-class planet in the Red Dwarf system we're approaching. Do you want to change course to investigate?
Are you familiar with any intelligent life forms in this system, Mr. Neelix?
Familiar? Not exactly familiar. Considerably less than familiar, actually.
Neelix looks awkwardly at Tuvok as Kes enters, looking worried.
Kes? What are you doing here?
I had to know.
No. No, what?
The planet. Everyone was killed. There was this terrible explosion.
You had a bad dream.
No, it was more than a dream.
Mr. Tuvok, any indications of trouble on that M-class planet?
Negative, Captain.
Is it populated?
Sensors do show humanoid life. There is no satellite system, and no indications of spacecraft in the vicinity. It appears to be a pre-warp civilization.
Which means, as a policy, we don't involve ourselves in their affairs.
Of course. A most enlightened philosophy. Come on, Kes.
I'm sorry, Captain. Is it possible to see this planet on the view screen?
The captain nods her assent, and a lush blue-green planet appears on the monitor.
There it is.
Janeway smiles warmly at Kes, who returns the smile.
Thank you.
Kes and Neelix enter the turbo lift.
Come on. Come on. Just go.
Enter the planet's coordinates into the log and maintain present heading, Commander. Warp 6.
Aye, Captain.
Streaking through the stars, Voyager continues its long journey home. The end.